radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Space is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. There you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get on the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
Yo, World Party is officially on. Brothers and sisters, get your tape decks ready. Yo, World Party is officially on. Brothers and sisters, get your tape decks ready. Yo, World Party is officially on. Brothers and sisters, get your tape decks ready.
There is only one path and one path only. It is the path of relentless struggle.
Of your wealth or lack of, so you know about with the so-called b-boy fascination. If you can, please recycle, even the people in the hood, please recycle. I know it wasn't our fault that they went psycho. They mean an industry and sex and flex for profit. Traditional society's an islander. Please retain your culture and don't give up. Don't you understand? We must understand this. If we want to live in bliss, word up it goes. United minds of the Americas, minds of Africa, and the Caribbean, and the Europeans, and the Asians, and Australians. It's not just race, we're all in this together, I swear. United minds of the Americas, minds of Africa, and the Caribbean, and the Europeans, and the Asians, and Australians. It's not just race, we're all in this together. United minds of the Americas. United minds of the Americas.
Renoka Rashidi. I'm an avid fan of and a big supporter of Brother Junior Stanton.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind where we respect your intelligence and encourage your empowerment and personal growth. As we say, free your mind, the rest will follow. We started off the program with a message in the music, Arrested Development, United Minds. And we hope that will set the stage for today's program featuring our guest, Kwesi Achampong, who is the founder of The Blacklist and who has an extensive network reaching over 12,000 people, mostly of African ascent, connecting in a 21st century Negro World. That was the name of Marcus Garvey's newspaper. We encourage you to continue listening and being supportive of the Blake Radio Network, not only Rainbow Soul, but also Music Massage. If you're in the mood for some mellow music, soft, soulful sounds, check out Music Massage by merely going on the website, www.blakeradio.com, and making your choice, either Rainbow Soul for the best in talk radio or Music Massage. We'll be right back following these messages with our guest, Kwesi Achampong, so don't go anywhere.
Greetings to the Internet Radio family. This is Reverend Valentine speaking. You know, for nearly 30 years, I have had the distinct experience of being interviewed over every medium of communication available to the public. And except for the metaphysical underground, I can think of no other electronic venue that has been more progressive, more innovative, more insightful, more diligent, more diverse in its demographics, and more courageously supportive of the truth than this ever-growing phenomenon called Internet radio. And this is precisely why I'm here to tell you that it is so vital that you give your wholehearted support to it. Tell a friend. In fact, tell 2, 3, and 4 of your friends. If you are a business owner, support Internet radio by telling your customers and constituents all about it. Let them know that there is a legitimate and important substitute to all of the prefabricated, super-censored garbage polluting our public airways today. Don't allow the mass media to continue to treat you like a mindless consumer drone. Enhance your awareness. Indulge your critical thinking, your reasoning, and your analysis. Do as I do. Log on, listen in, and then let it be known all about your internet radio experience. Chimatep, beloved family, thank you for listening. Walk in light.
We'd like to welcome everybody checking in from Real Media Player, from Windows Media Player, from iTunes. We want to encourage everyone to log into our website, which is blakeradio.com, and become familiar with how you can access our broadcast directly from our website. And vice versa, those of you who check in directly from the Blake Radio Network, become familiar with how you can also access us through Real Media Player, through Windows Media Player, and iTunes by logging into their radio tuner guides and doing a search for us in the talk radio genre. You're listening to Rainbow Soul, talk radio at its best.
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
If you are enjoying the programming here on the Blake Radio Network, please log into our website at www.blakeradio.com. Then click on Channel 5, Rainbow Soul, and sign up to help keep this venue alive for only 19 cents a day. In order for us to keep bringing you this radio station, we need your support. So log into BlakeRadio.com, then click on Channel 5, Rainbow Soul, and sign up for only 19 cents a day to help keep this radio station on the air. Channel 5, Rainbow Soul. Talk radio at its best.
You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul with your host, Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned.
Our guest on today's program is Kwaise Akampian, who is the founder of the Blacklist, which morphed into the Blacklist Pub. And it's a Ning platform social network that is providing an outstanding service to allow Africans throughout the diaspora to communicate, share, and make ourselves aware of what's going on wherever we are in the world. Welcome, brother. How are you?
I am well, and thank you. I just want to give you the proper pronunciation of my name. It's Kwasi Achampong.
Oh, it's Champong.
It does not pronounce the way it looks.
Oh, okay.
Achampong.
Okay. Champong. Achampong.
Achampong.
Okay. Well, I apologize. How are you?
I am well. I'm really well, and I'm delighted not to be speaking with you today.
It's been a while. It's been quite a while since I've had you on the program. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, how you got involved, because I met you through the Blacklist listserv many years ago. So how did you get involved with that, and how and why did you take advantage of the new social media to expand it?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, and you're one of my original contributors way back in the day, long time ago. And so I just want to thank you for still being out there, and just keeping on. Thank you.
My pleasure. I'm appreciative of the venue.
Yes, thank you. Yes, the Blacklist itself began in 1993. It began as the Marcus Garvey BBF bulletin board. Those were the days now before the internet, when people were just communicating from computer to computer over things like FidoNet. Seems like the dark ages then.
Yeah.
And really, how I got started, I was participating in the election with Mayor Dinkins was running against Giuliani during that election. And they had Roy Innes now was one of the people who was running against Dinkins. But the debate, you know, in that era around that election, especially in the black community, you know, it was so coarse, you know, it was so vicious. The name callings and the things that people actually, if they had a chance, it seems like people would just kill each other. No, the name callings and it was just so demeaning.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I wanted to create a platform where people who share different goals, the same goal, but have different point of views of reading the goal, could actually speak to each other. So we said, yeah, we may have different points of view, but we are committed to the same goal. Yet we are ready to destroy each other and really see each other as enemies when the real enemies is getting away. And that conversation, you know, I created a platform where people can actually share the same common goal, but have different points of view on that goal could actually speak.
Now, were your initial contributors and the people who responded and people who posted, they were mostly New Yorkers?
Yeah, to begin with, were mostly New Yorkers. But then as I expanded, now I had people from the Caribbean, you know, from across the country, you know, from Africa, people from India, people from all over. So now it becomes really like universal.
I remember the bulletin board, and then it morphed into the blacklist. So how did that happen?
There was a point where I had my my subscription to the name the Marcus Garvey BBS lapsed, and someone actually picked up that name. And wanted to sell it back to me for an exorbitant sum.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, really, what am I really about? Because they called the name Marcus Garvey BBS was really a long name. And so what other name could I actually create that would actually speak to what I'm committed to? And the word blacklist came up. And then for me, man, the word blacklist, really, for me, it had nothing to do with black, nothing to do with list. But it speak to me about what we as a people do to each other. We blacklist each other. So that's really what I'm speaking to. How we as a people, you know, blacklist
mm-hmm.
each other. We have someone who will be from the same race, and we have the same outlook, but I have a different point of view. And he said, no, don't talk to him. No, he's not he's not that. But we actually censor and blacklist each other based on our point of views. And that's really what I'm speaking to, how we blacklist each other.
Do you have an editorial philosophy? Because I've seen over the years many contributors, and on some regards, I view it as a forum for Pan-Africanism, issues about black people, local, regional, international. But I'm just looking at it now and how it has grown. But in the beginning, did you have an editorial philosophy, even though you wanted to have a forum for open dialogue? Did you have a particular ideology yourself?
Yes. Yeah, that ideology was always there. And in the beginning, most of my the news I carried were local news dealing with New York. But then as people grew and my horizon expanded, you know, I actually became true to my philosophy and really so become international. And one of the concerns that some people have, well, that sometimes I may have a lot of news about England, for example, things that happen in England, when a lot of my contributors are in New York and people may complain, so, you know, what do I have to do with England? But for me, as an African, it's important to me as an African to know what my people in England are doing,
mm-hmm.
to know that we are in the same fight, the same struggle, and create an opportunity for me in New York to network with somebody who's undergoing the same struggle, who's in the same fight, you know, in London, to network with them. And if this forum wasn't available, I wouldn't know that these brothers exist and what they're doing, and think, wow, no, our struggle is similar. Let's join forces. Really, and that's the promise of the Blacklist. It creates an opportunity for people to really get to know each other and really create, you know, that symbiotic, you know, relationship.
I remember there was a brother who, he was a Sudanese, and he used to contribute quite a bit about the situation in Sudan. But I think at the time, I think if I remember, he was living in England at the time. And because of his posts and because of the dialogue, I learned a lot about the situation in Sudan. I think that forum and that ability is priceless, because we're living in a time, even though it's the information age, there's what I call disinformation, you know, propaganda, spin, misinformation. So particularly as it pertains to African people, we need a forum where we can check the facts and recheck what's going on from the ground level as it impacts our people, just like you were talking about the brothers and sisters in England. Because last summer, if we didn't have some contributions, or let's put it this way, if it weren't for the internet, we would not have really known what the fracas was about in England. I'm not talking about when the college students rioted because they raised the tuition. I'm talking about later on when it started to spread all over England. Basically, if we hadn't had the internet and we hadn't had a forum such as yours, we really would not have known that their situation is the exact same situation we're facing in terms of police brutality, in terms of economic exploitation, in terms of housing, the whole bit.
And you won't know that from watching CNN.
No.
And the brother you're talking about from Sudan, his name is Banky, and he lives now in Namibia, and he's still a regular now contributor. And I learned so much from him that right now we are friends. He's not just a contributor; he's one of my good friends, and so that's one of the things that I've gotten from the list, that I've made friends with people across the globe, with brothers and sisters across the globe that would not be available for me reading, watching CNN, or reading, getting my news from mass media.
Right. That's the challenge, because for us, I mean, we say we want to be self-determining, but it's very difficult if your worldview is shaped and the circumference of your awareness is determined by your adversary, or even someone who just is apathetic, meaning they just don't even care about you. They don't care about you one way or the other. My take is that they are our adversaries. And so that is the value of the Blacklist, and even more so now that you've bumped it up to the social networking on the Ning platform. So what prompted you to do that? Because you were one of the first ones to do that.
Matter of fact, you are the one that caused, that brought that into being. Really.
How so?
You are the first one. I think you were on Living in the Black.
Right.
And I had another, I was on my own platform. And I remember one day you sent an article in, and it had, and the tagline was Living in the Black. And remember, I think I reached out to you or something. But it's because of you that I went to Living in the Black and actually explore the platform and then signed up. If it weren't for you, I would not have been on there.
Actually, you should give Kidi Obiawadu credit, because I joined his Living in Black. I joined that. That's where that came from.
So thank you for that.
Okay. All right. I had forgotten all about it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, now, so how many members do you have now?
Okay. When I look at the network, the Blacklist, for example, is a network. It's a network that I have a name on Rise Up, on Twitter, on StumpUpon, and on Dig, on my Facebook profile, on my Facebook page. In all, I have over 12,000 people in my network that I communicate with on a daily basis. But on the main platform itself, it's only 1,200 people.
Okay.
That's the base. And from that, you know, it reached all the other people on, you know, in the network.
How do you moderate and monitor all the various platforms and various entities that you're involved with?
Well, there are tools on the internet that that make it easy, you know, for me to share to share information between networks, and I just maximize those tools.
Are all the tools applicable to the same types of media? In other words, I just posted a video up on the Blacklist Pub this morning. When people post, can you migrate them to the other?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So if you look at your video, what I did, I shared it with everyone on the main network. I also shared it with everyone on my profile, and I also shared it with people on my Twitter page, and shared it with people on my Facebook page, and so that's why the conversation that you and I had over the weekend, that when you post on the list, the things on the list, it just goes to the people who are regular
list,
on the list,
right. Mm-hmm.
And who they share it to. But when you post something on the website, it has the ability to go farther than the list can ever go. And then it also becomes an archive for Google, so that someone goes to Google and they want to know what Junior, getting articles on Juniors, or some, maybe not about you, but the topic, that they forever can, that thing is always available to them. For me, that's more important. That's the most important thing, that why you and I are so hopeful about our situation, but why we see possibility for our people, because we have a record that we can draw upon, and we have to use the internet really not to create a record,
right.
archive for our people not to draw upon. And email does not create that record, does not create that archive that's available for people to draw upon.
Yeah, I never thought
about
that.
That's why I encourage people to place on the website itself,
right?
Because it becomes, it creates a record, a living record.
Now, how can people join the various, I don't want to say platform, because Ning is a platform, then how can people contribute? There's, you have the Rise Up, you have the Blacklist, you got the Blacklist Pub, then you have your profile, and people can follow you on these various other idioms. So how can people contribute on a regular basis?
Well, if you joined the for one, the Blacklist, name. I think it has a high profile on Google. So most likely, if you do a search for the Blacklist, it will come up either the first or the second, or way to the top. Maybe if not the first, second, but it won't be lower than the third. So people can always find the Blacklist in a search with Google. And people, you post, you join the website, and you can actually post on the website, or if you join me, if you get in contact with me through my personal profile, then you will also have access to everything else that's available in the other parts of the Blacklist network. Or sometimes people who have my email addresses send me articles directly, and then I post them on the list and on the website, and then distribute it to the other parts of the network.
Now, question: there was an explosion. First, it was MySpace, then it was Facebook, and then Ning and several other platforms came out there. Ning was quite popular, and then about a year or so ago, they started charging. And I watched as the number of sites and networks dwindled. What was your thinking? Why did you remain with them as opposed to jumping and migrating somewhere else?
Well, because it's established, and I changed sites a few times, you know, since the creation of the Blacklist and the Marcus Garvey BBS. And every time I changed, I lose people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I'm not changing anymore. This is it, and I'm going to make this work. And then what I decided to do now is to really set my game up and actually monetize the site. So I'm running ads on the site, you know, Google ads, and the traffic that the site draws to really is actually paying off. So the site is actually paying for itself.
Mm, okay, all right.
You know, through Google ads. So it's worth my while to, you know, to really stay where I am as long as...
long as you have traffic and
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now that's something, because a lot of times people do it because they have a passion for something, or they like the technology, they want to get the message out, they want to be involved on cutting edge media, and all too often we don't think in terms of monetization of what we're doing. And a lot of times it's because, you know, there's, like I like to recall the African proverb, truth is in the marketplace, but is anyone buying? And a lot of times if we depend on corporate advertising, we're not going to get much support because our perspective is different. So share with our listeners some ways to monetize something like this, so that they don't have to bear the cost of out-of-pocket expenses to keep it running. Particularly because what happened, remember years ago when Net Zero was claiming that it's free and it always stay free, then all of a sudden they started charging. Blog Talk Radio started charging. Ning started charging. And I don't know if that's going to be the trend in the future, but again, we need to begin to find ways to monetize things so we don't end up having to spend a lot of our own personal finances to keep it going, because all too often that's what happens.
Yeah, and that was what I was doing for, you know, for a long time until recently. I said, no, I can actually use the power of the internet to have this thing work. It's not making me rich, but the main thing that it's paying for itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's sustaining
itself. You know, with my passion, it's sustaining itself, and really that's really what the bottom line is.
Now, it's paying for itself, because I was talking to someone yesterday, and we were talking about the up and the downsides of the internet, and how the internet basically makes everybody equal. And I mentioned, I said, well, it's equal except for bandwidth, because some people can have their setup so they have more bandwidth than others. And he mentioned something about a new technology where even that is almost equal. So have you seen that? Are you familiar with that? Because that might be a factor too, because they were talking about monetizing the internet itself and making, you know, have a super highway, and you have to pay for it and all this kind of stuff. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but in terms of what you're doing and what grassroots activists, media people are doing, have you found a way to deal with the bandwidth issues, or do the bandwidth issues impact you at all?
Not yet. No, I'm just monitoring the trends that are going on, trying to stay up to date, and at the same time be advocating for openness on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that the most important thing, I think, in being successful on the internet at whatever level, and it's using the network. For using the power of the network, and so the two words come to mind: social networking. And if we are on in social networking and we're not being social and we are not being networking and we are not networking, then all the money we put into it, you know, like for example, you know, like iSpace, it's going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
So the power lies in the people, in the relationship that you and I have, you know, with our audience, that we really need to develop, and especially for us, you know, as people of African descent, you know, we talk a lot about community, and here's an opportunity for us to build a community. For example, when I screen people who come to the site, one of the first thing that they'll say, I ask the question, why are you here? And say, well, I'm here to network. But then the next question is, tell me something about yourself. And someone may say, oh, I'm a man. Right? If you're on my site and you want to network and you are just a man, why should I network with you?
Mm-hmm.
So there is, especially for older people, there is this fear of the network and a fear that the man is going to know everything about you. He already knows everything about you.
Yeah.
There's nothing that you have to hide. But then if you're committed to something, then don't let that fear stop you from fulfilling on what you're committed to. We have to use the tools of the network, of the internet, to socialize, to build community, and to network. And we are not using that. No, I think for most people on the network, they use it. No, it's like a lamppost. And they go, it walks you to commit in the lamppost, and people put like posters on the lamppost.
Mm-hmm.
They communicate one way, and they don't give, and they are not concerned about who read what they read, even whether or not someone is reading it. See, every time I post something, I am always analyzing it. But nothing goes for chance. I really want to know that I post something on my network and it's reaching people. And who's reaching? How many people are reading it?
Now,
where the power of the internet lies. It's in being social, creating community, networking, and really getting to know your audience.
Right. Well, often,
and most of us are not doing that.
Yeah, because I think we've been conditioned through, like, television and radio, except for talk radio, where it's a one-way communication. In other words, obviously you turn on a TV and you see what the programming, but there's no way for you to respond or get feedback other than, you know, just to mindlessly go out and buy the stuff that they're advertising.
But the programmer, the person who runs the program knows, because they get their needs from ratings.
Yeah.
And they find ways through their commercials to really get in touch with the audience. You know, there's people buying these programs, buying these products that are advertised on this network.
Right. And
but,
also,
you know,
I don't know if they do it now, but in the old days, they used to have the Nielsen ratings, and they used to have... for radio, I forgot, it was Nielsen and it was something, another company that did
Arbitron, yeah.
Yeah, Arbitron, but there was another company that, because one of the things when I was with terrestrial radio and I was brokering time on a black-owned AM station, the problems that they had was getting an accurate account of their listenership, because no black people had the books. They didn't have the Arbitron books, or they didn't have the other book, and that other book was more reliable because not only did they have the book, but they had the phone, and they combined a lot of things. But black people weren't included in that. They didn't go into the projects and give people the logs, that, you know, ask them to keep a log of what they were listening to. So we suffered. And I think that is not as big a problem with the internet, but I do suspect it could be in terms of accurate number of hits. Because
I'll give an example. There is I have a subscriber on the list who continually sent me information, and I've never posted any of his information. And just keep sending me information, and I've never posted any of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, matter of fact, I've written him, this is why I'm not posting it, this is why, not that I'm censoring it, but this is what's, is your information. But it doesn't matter, because with it, he's not actually reading and monitoring whether or not his information is getting out. He's just sending one way. And that's what a lot of people on the internet do. They just send information, but they are unconcerned about is it being read, what's being said about me.
Yeah, that's true.
And we really, to be successful, in spite of the bandwidth, in spite of everything, we have to be social, and we have to be networking, and we have to analyze our work, our audience.
Well, how important for you is feedback? I mean, obviously, to have a social network where you're trying to build a community of like-minded people who have a certain aspirations is important. But how do you get people to become aware of that importance and to take advantage of it?
Well, the first thing, I don't want a community of like-minded people. And that's one of the things that what I'm against. Everybody really in life really wants the same thing. But I definitely don't want, I want to create a diverging opinion, diverging points of view, around the same aspiration. I don't want everybody to agree with me or to agree with and it's the same thing.
Okay.
I want to create a dialogue, because what I said, that freedom lives in a conversation about being free, and the people can actually speak. And I can create their own point of view and their own opinion, and not be locked into the righteousness of their point of view. Then we can never be free. And so, how do I get that? One, I monitor it, and I build relationships with people. It's not the easiest thing to do, but I know for given what I'm committed to. It's important for me to reach out from time to time, reach out across my opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, bury my opinion rather. Very, very rarely do I actually express my personal point of view on the list, on the website, or in any of my network, because I'm not interested in my point of view. I'm interested in the other person's point of view, in their point of view. And I'm not censoring their point of view. Whatever they say is fine, as long as they can grant other people the same privilege.
Well, I remember the
same privilege.
Yeah, I remember several years ago you had to step in because it was getting a little too heated and a little too personal, and some of the comments were inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I can't ever recall any censorship on your part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not interested in my point of view, and I have a distinct point of view. But that's not what I'm selling. I'm selling people the opportunity to express their point of view and to get to be aware of other of diverging point of view, and to see that those point of view all these points of view have a commonality.
Now, how can people take advantage of it? Because, see, one of the things that I've noticed, particularly with Facebook, when our folks got on it, now, a lot of the Ning platforms, they were centered around themes or like-minded activities, philosophies, ideologies. How can people take advantage of the Blacklist Pub and your network? And because based on what you're saying, it's different from a lot of the other entities that were on the Ning platform, where it might have been strictly hip-hop, might have been strictly black nationalism, might have been strictly HBCU, might have been strictly whatever the topic was. And the other point that I was going to make before my mind started wandering was that our people use the technology in a way that reflects their consciousness. So a lot of times the stuff that they post is, to me, is trivial, and like, you know, we can do better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my opinion. But how can people take advantage of the network, you know, to develop their creativity, to develop connections, to develop even business opportunities that will enhance what they're about?
That is where I am right now, and that's a place, and that's the next step on my quest. You know, if to interact with people. Matter of fact, you know, I've sent out, I did an article a few months ago about how to write a successful blog. A blog that people are reading,
mm-hmm.
and I also sent out a video by what's this guy's name? His name slipped my mind, but you know, is a really successful black businessman who really talks about the power of networking. His name is on the tip of my tongue. He's an old man. He's about 90 years old, and I think you may know him too. But I just can't, it's on the tip of my tongue. But that's the really how I'm going to interact with people right now, and really to get people to understand and use the network to fulfill what they're committed to,
mm-hmm.
and not just for trivial things. You're committed, you have something. For example, like people have businesses, but they just think by just posting something that people will come to their business. No. It's running a business on the internet is just like running a business on the a brick and mortar business. You have to really know how to build relationship with people. And that's important, and that's really the part where we as a people fall short. We just think that if we build it they will come. No. There are many, the internet is so vast. So that we have to really create a special relationship with people and actually maintain those relationships over time for people to actually stay with us.
Yeah.
And we don't do a good job in building relationships now with people. And we talk a lot about community, but we don't build community. We want community to happen, but we don't want to do anything to make it happen.
You know, well, like you said, relationships take time to grow and
mm-hmm.
mature. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think a lot of times our thought processes aren't along those lines. All too often we take on the mindset of the dominant culture of our adversaries. And right now they're into a get rich, rip everybody off, predatory type mentality, and we're seeing that in the economy, and that's what led to a lot of people being in the position they're in, you know, get rich quick, you know,
mm-hmm.
buy a couple of houses, flip them, and do this, do that, and without really understanding how long-term policies work or trends work, and so they just got
mm-hmm.
caught up in the short-term. And
mm-hmm.
we have to be about long-term, you know, when people ask me, well, what do we need to do? And I say, okay, we got to go back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to basics means providing food, maybe our clothing, and optimally shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're going to have to learn how to get back to thrift, savings, the whole principles of success. all of that. And so given that, are you going to branch out into to giving like distance learning opportunities, webinars, things like that? Because to me,
matter of fact,
we need.
That's one of the things that's available now on Ming. Ming has the capability now to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking into that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's something that I've actually given some thought to. But one of the things immediately, you know, just like I'm having this conversation with you, and I've had similar conversation with other people that I value, who have been part of this Ming network, the Blacklist network for a while. And I'm going to make a more concerted effort to really continue an ongoing dialogue, you know, with the people in my network, and to help the other people in my network who are, I think, are not fulfilling on what they're committed to
mm-hmm.
actually fulfill on that
mm-hmm.
for themselves and for us, and the webinars and the chat, which I'm using a lot now on my network, are vital tools. I just want to go back to something that you said. And one part of philosophy that when I speak about as myself on the network, sometimes I sometimes do in a special forum, in my question of the week. And that's the only forum where I speak as myself. I try to encourage people not to use the pronoun we. Because, and I see that when we say we, you know, we actually separate ourselves from other people. And we are not going to do anything. We are never going to do anything that I am not doing. And people are always waiting for we, for the choir, for the group. No. For we to do anything, I have to be willing to
do.
And most people are waiting for we, for the crowd. I encourage people, stop talking about we. What are you willing to do? What are you doing? You are the first link in the chain. You are not doing it. We will not do it.
Right. But I think we've been conditioned to have the herd mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where that comes from. There is strength in numbers, but it has to be one person at a time.
One person, yes.
Yeah.
So you hear people talking about, you know, our people are not doing that. But our people includes you.
Yeah.
What are you doing? If our people are not doing the things that they do, are you doing it?
And sometimes all it takes is the few, meaning you, mm-hmm. you offer the platform. I have a need to express myself, but also have a need to have other people see it. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I could have a journal and diaries and stuff and just be writing and nobody saw it. But I have a need to express the things that come through me. A lot of this is not me. A lot of it is, you know, the creator, the ancestors, whatever coming through me. You have provided a vehicle, a medium to allow me to do it. So we're working together, and there are other people who have other ideas. There may be a videographer out there who wants a place to put their videos or their other material that they're doing. So we can work in concert and work collectively in that regard. It's a we, but it's you doing what, and I'm, you know, obviously I'm preaching to the choir. It's you doing what you do. It's me doing what I do. It's other folks doing what they do, but we're doing it in concert.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And we're not pointing fingers out there at them. Because them is me.
yeah. Now, you can't point fingers at other people without having three of them pointing back at you. So that's So what's on the agenda for Kwaisi Achampong, short term then long term, as far as the media and the network?
Well, it's long term. It's fulfilling my vision. You know, my vision in life, and my long term vision. You know, is. It's creating a world, you know, where all people can experience being free and self-determining. You know, and that we can all see that freedom is not a someday thing. You know, it's not, and no one can make you free. No one gives you freedom. No one
right.
makes you free.
Right. Right.
Freedom is the way one be about themselves. And as I said, only a free people can be free. In order to be free, you have to really see yourself as being free.
Yeah. And navigating the world as a free person would.
Right. It's no one's going to make you free. And say, oh, you're free. But you have to be free first.
And then
shake off the chains, you know, like Nat Turner, you know, he went to his grave, you know, a free man. So I'd rather die a free man than live a free man.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's all about consciousness and it's all about purpose and intent. And I think as more and more of our people become aware of this, the more freedom they will experience and we will experience and I will experience. But until we're willing to step out
right now.
Yeah. Until I'm willing to step out, take a chance, and like I said, navigate in the world as a free person, if we don't do that, it won't happen.
No. You got to stay out and it comes with risk, but these are risks that free people take. Free people take risks.
Right.
You know, the people who are not free, you know, are waiting for certainty, and there is no certainty. You have to be willing to give up everything, your life and everything, to be free.
Right. Yeah, you can't compromise on that.
Yeah.
So what's on your short-term agenda?
My short-term agenda, you know, is just reaching out, building bridges, maintaining relationships, and building the network.
All right. Now, speaking of the network, give us access points to the network. How do you join the Blacklist Pub? How do you join the Blacklist? How do you join some of the other.
You join the Blacklist Pub? You just go to theblacklist.net and just log in on theblacklist.net and just click the join button on the right hand side of the page to join the list, and you go to just send an email to. The Blacklist subscribe. So the blacklist-subscribe@list.riseup.net.
Okay, say that again. I think you trailed off at the end.
Okay, it's the Blacklist. That's one word. -subscribe@list.riseup.net.
Okay,
and I'm available on Twitter as the Blacklist, and on Facebook as the Blacklist.
But we're getting ready to close out, so I wanted people to know how they could join and contact you, because, like myself, there are a lot of people out there who have skills, aspirations, gifts, talents that they want to share, and there are people who have a business mind who could use what you're doing for a reciprocal arrangement. In other words, they do what they do and you offer them a way to get promotion, marketing, and things like that, and the people who might be looking for what service or what they're producing will have an opportunity to come and see it.
Yeah.
So I believe in the win-win scenario.
Yes. And this is exactly what it is. Everybody wins. I promote you, I promote myself. I promote myself, I promote you. I can't do one without the other.
Right, right.
It all happens in context, in the same way. and so it's, you know, it's a win-win for everyone.
Yep. That's the best way to do it. That's how our ancestors worked together. That's the whole cooperative work and responsibility. Mm-hmm. That's reciprocity. That's mm-hmm. mutual aid. That's African, straight up and down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of that and for giving me the opportunity now to expand to Ning and for, thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Like I said, it's a reciprocal arrangement, and I will continue to contribute as long as you're there.
Yes, thank you.
All right, man. Stay strong.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Right.
Thanks. As we close out today's program, we remind you to engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind. The rest will follow. And also remember how you can contact and make connection and be part of the Blacklist Network. Till next time, stay strong.
Cyberspace is a place that no army with artillery can raise, where no military.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates, no denomination faith dominates, and no court is going to try it.